Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We would be remiss if we did not say goodbye to an old friend of the show, Carol Dawson, Rockets, former Rockets general manager. He was with the organization for all four NBA Finals. He was instrumental in bringing some great players to this city. He was instrumental in turning Dream around and helping to make him a great player. Carol Dawson was just a Rocket through and through for years and years and years. So that it sucks. Carol Dawson, he had plenty of health problems. He had eye problems throughout his life that really affected him. But he knew his basketball, man. He was Rudy's. He convinced Rudy to take the job. Rudy wanted him to take the job. Rudy didn't want the head coaching job, and Carol said, "No, man, that's you." And he was his right hand and instrumental in bringing two championships here to the
city
of Houston.
Well, and the story is that, and I got this from Rudy. I thought it was Carol, but you know, now that I think about it, it was Rudy. Whenever he was on. I had a chance to golf with him one time. It was one of the coolest experiences. But he wasn't going to, like, Don Chaney, who was the head coach at the time, they was fired in the middle of the year, and they wanted to make Rudy the interim coach. And Rudy's like, he was a bench coach along with Carol Dawson. And Rudy told Carol, he's like, "I don't know enough basketball." Like, in a weird way, he didn't know X's and O's. He didn't know. He had been a player, but he didn't know coaching. He didn't feel comfortable that he knew enough coaching. And he knew Carol knew a ton. And Carol's like, "What? No, I will teach you." And so they went to Galveston and like holed up in a hotel. And Carol for 72 hours, just three straight days of basketball, X's and O's, everything that Carol could teach him in that period of time, he did so that Rudy would feel comfortable taking over that coaching job. And he did, and the rest is history. And Carol was very, as you mentioned, John, he was very, very responsible for Rudy feeling comfortable and getting the knowledge he needed to actually take that job, because he really was considering turning that down.
Yep. No, Rudy didn't want it. And Carol Dawson was right there, just highly respected, just a really nice, great human being too. Just a great guy. So that's a big loss for the Rockets organization. They put out a nice statement yesterday. It was nice to see. So it was That's a sad day. They've lost a few now: Gene Peterson and Carol Dawson. And is Foles still around? Is Jim Foley? I think Foley's still around.
Foley? Right. Foley. Oh yeah, Jim Foley.
I think he's still around. But that's a couple of big losses from that era. Let's get.
Well, hold on. Since we're honoring our fallen greats, we lost a great member of pop culture.
James Earl Jones.
What?
James Earl Jones passed away at 93 years old yesterday. Yeah.
The March of the Emperor, I think it's called, is one of the greatest songs.
Imperial March, yes.
Imperial March ever. I remember they played this. I had a dog named ML Bo Backstretch, who I absolutely loved.
ML Bo Backstretch?
ML Bo Backstretch at the... I didn't have that dog. It was a dog at the dog track. And
I thought you owned this dog.
No. It was a dog at the dog
track. You just bet on this dog?
When the dog track came to... You don't understand, Del.
You're right.
When the dog track and gambling came to... I say to this city, it was so far. I was out past where you are, Del, where you live. But it was, we would drive out there and go bet on the dogs, and I was so excited. You had Pease Raising Cane, MLB Backstretch, you had Sweet Theme. They had card, like I actually got them to do a trading card series that they ended up doing. But they had a show there. What?
Isn't this about James Earl Jones?
Well,
you make this about yourself?
Okay, well, hold on. But they played, every dog had their own little theme.
Okay.
Whenever they were going, because they had a big showdown race. The place was packed for the showdown race for these greyhounds. And ML Bo Backstretch, my dog, had this song.
Do you mean the dog you bet on, not your dog?
Well, he's like my dog in my heart.
Okay.
He was like my dog.
So, what a tribute to James Earl Jones.
You turned it into a dog racing conversation.
What a
tribute. So, one of the funniest things John's ever said. What a tribute to James Earl Jones. So, yeah, they used this theme, not just in Star Wars, but also with dog racing. I just want that
to... We can make this
doesn't have anything to do with James.
Yeah,
I guess,
no, it doesn't.
Now that I think about it.
Nothing at all, because I can make it about myself, too. In the 90s, on third downs, Miami would play the song after getting a stop. You know what I
did? Oh, they would?
Turn this into my childhood, talking about Miami football.
Well, he was also in the Field of Dreams, too, so there was that. But we know him as Darth Vader.
Are we done with
he
you?
Was, I'll never forget when they took his helmet off and there was James Earl Jones.
It was not James Earl Jones.
No,
it was not. James
Earl. It would have been a plot twist.
It was a Scottish dude whose voice they didn't like for the role, so they had to hire James Earl Jones.
But it would have been better if they took it off and Luke Skywalker's like, "You're my father?"
Yeah, we got magic in Star Wars. Don't ask questions.
Let's get Dr. Dre in here because we said we would do that. What do you say, Dr. Dre?
Hey, Double Ride fellas. You know, I'm a truck driver by trade. I'm a natural born ship talker.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to add. Well, first of all, let me say it's good to hear that Granado took the kielbasa out of his mouth.
Hmm.
Number two, I'd like to add somebody to the RIP list. You know, Gene Peterson and TD passing away. I'd also like to add Quincy Avery to the list. You know, he's a famous trainer all over Twitter, posting these little videos. Deshaun Watson throwing over a broom, and what's that got him now? I mean, look at Quincy Avery. He's disappeared off the face of the earth, and you know. How great does he look now after, you know, him? And with that, I'm out.
Not sure what.
He wanted to say RIP to Quincy Avery, who's not actually dead. But
no.
Is he saying his career is over?
No, it's not like.
I don't know about his career, but
he's standing with
his
guy.
He is quieter.
But he's standing with his guy. Dell and I were looking at him.
He was at the Cowboys game taking a picture of Deshaun before the game.
Posted a picture with him and Deshaun.
He's not hiding.
He knows it's not a popular topic, but that's the guy that put him on, really.
Yeah, it's poor timing with that lawsuit just a day later.
Poor timing with that performance.
Well, sure, but Quincy Avery gets killed for multiple things with Deshaun, the performance and then the off-the-field stuff, too. I don't remember exactly all he said, but at the time when this was popping off, he was public about in his support.
Yeah. Freddie says the voice of Mufasa was his
that
best
as well.
Role.
Yeah.
Fred, Lance, do you have any stories about can you feel the love tonight or anything?
I didn't like that show.
You didn't like Lion King?
It was all right. I mean, I wasn't.
Well, you were a grown man, so maybe it wasn't for you.
Your kids
really
didn't watch it and you had to watch it a bunch?
Yeah, they did, but
this man came out against Lion King.
No,
I'm
pro James Earl. I'm pro Mufasa voice.
So what's your
James
issue?
Earl Joyce's voice is he's also CNN. They used him more than Michael McDonald's been used by yacht rockers to back up little tracks. Michael McDonald is in everything. If you just go listen to old yacht rock type stuff from the 70s and 80s, James Earl Jones might be in more things as a voiceover guy.
Oh, there was a funny. A top 10 David Letterman list.
things that sound better because James Earl Jones says them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny. If you go find it on Twitter.
And it became, and now, you know, the new voice is Morgan Freeman. Morgan yeah. Freeman is really the guy that James Earl Jones was for years and years and years, where they, hey, let's get his voice on here. But James yeah. Earl Jones' voice on the, seriously, if you had to do a voice, what is it called? You know, when we do the presidents on the rock.
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore, thank you. The Mount Rushmore of voice guys is going to be James Earl Jones, the guy who does ESPN cuts. Now back to ESPN or whatever for our radio station. Morgan Freeman and probably Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is on the Mount Rushmore of voice stuff? Okay. All right.
No, the Home Depot voice guy. He's been doing that for years.
Home Depot voice guy is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Buffalo Wild Wings guy was doing it for a while and pretty good.
And then he turned it into
Now it's a Buffalo.
Yeah, what was his name who turned it
Bob
into?
Bob Menery?
Bob. Well, he was doing something else. Then he became the Buffalo Wild Wings guy, right?
Have you ever watched videos? Bob Menery's a psychopath.
Yeah.
Have you seen him, Bob Menery's got problems. He's got a great voice, but he's got problems.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'd like to see it. I'd like what.
Well, just do Bob Menery and Dana White. He and Dana White get into it on the Nelk Brothers podcast. Bob Menery apparently has some problems. He's not well liked by a lot of people.
You know who is well liked by a lot of people? Patrick Chastain, Joe Chastain, all the Chastains. The Chastains are great people. The Chastains have been selling cars in the city of Houston for over 80 years. The Chastains have a great deal for you right now. I don't know there's a better way to get your youngster into a starter car than $299 a month, okay, on a Bronco Sport, a 3-year lease. That is perfect because you got a really nice, great, sturdy car, brand new, okay, that they can tool around in, that they can learn with. At $299 a month, this is the perfect way to start them. As opposed to what we did, buying Frankie an expensive car, and then it's trash, okay? Now, if you're looking for an Explorer, they've got great deals on that right now. The XLT, we're talking about $4,500 off. We're talking about no down, no payments for 90 days. We're talking about free service, okay, on new vehicles. It's incredible what they're doing to Chastain Ford. This continues after the summer. But if you're looking for a vehicle, I feel like there's just one place to go in this city. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Kane is in the building.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, I would never want Lance to speak at my funeral because it would turn into a 20-minute rant on how he played Little League Baseball.
Yeah, you don't want it.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I did really good at my own grandmother's funeral. So I'm one for one so far.
You did.
You got compliments?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I spoke for the grandchildren. I was the one who was the official designated for Grandma Stevens. So I did really good. I was one for one.
So now you're making your grandma's funeral about you.
No, I'm just saying I was good at that. So I wouldn't rule me out of speaking at your funeral.
So, but you're dying first, according to Gilbert. So yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
No, I believe. Yeah, and you notice that Gilbert is in a home now, for sure, 100%, because he has not called. Like, there's no chance that was a joke, John. Gilbert is in a home, and that's that.
Yeah, no, that's not a joke.
We may not hear from Gilbert again.
Yeah, that's a shame. He brought us a lot of light, a lot of uh, a
Well, dirty, filthy.
And that. He brought us a lot of sunshine and that. Right.
Big deal.
Big deal anyway.
Turn it off. Do you still have, you weren't the producer. Yeah, do you still have Alexa turn it off?
I wasn't here for that, so that would be, that's in RJ's files.
Is there a file you can get into? Alexa! Turn it off, Alexa! This might be my favorite thing that Gilbert's ever done, is when he got in a fight with Alexa. When his Alexa wouldn't stop talking to him and playing stuff, and he couldn't make Alexa stop. It was, I'll just say it, it was better radio than, frankly, talking about Rockets or Texans at that time. At that time. Now it's good to talk about Texans, and it's really good to talk about C.J. Stroud, John. And C.J. Stroud, I'll give you an example. C.J. Stroud, this is against the Colts. C.J. Stroud has a completion percentage in three games of 70.5%. He's thrown for an average of 294 yards, 8.4 yards per attempt, six touchdowns, no interceptions, 114.9 passer rating. This is Stroud's ninth career game with 25 pass attempts and 100-plus passer rating out of 16 games. Nine of his 16 games, he's had 25-plus passing attempts and 100-plus passer rating. He's tied for second most such games over his first 16 games of his career, behind only Pat Mahomes, and he's tied with Kurt Warner. Nico Collins led the Texans with six receptions for 117 yards. Collins has had 115 receiving yards in each of his first three games against the Colts. Holy crap. Including 146. This is his lowest, John.
And you see on the one where he had the two defenders on him, he had a 16% chance of catching that.
Yep.
16%. That was one of the great catches that we've seen. That is a fantastic, going up in between two guys and getting that high ball on that ball. That was a fantastic, and it was a huge play during the game.
We got a discount on him financially, contract wise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the catch to end the game was a great one. Remember, one knee equals 2 feet, so he didn't have to get two knees in. And then the catch you mentioned, going up and winning in the double team, was just impressive.
And he's not a diva.
No, far from it. He's Andre Johnson type personality.
I mean, goodness gracious. Can it get any better? You got him at a discount, and he's not a diva. That's just incredible today.
Yeah, it really is. Here's Joe Mixon. How about this? Joe Mixon, 30 carries, 159 yards. His 178-yard scrimmage yards are the most by a Houston running back since Lamar Miller had 178 against Indianapolis 8 years ago. It's the most rush yards by a player in their first game with Houston in team history. Big deal. Mixon's most rushing yards in a game since 2021. It's his first career game with 30-plus carries and 5-plus yards per carry. And in Houston, just to remind you, you remember how did Houston get Joe Mixon? Was he a free agent, John? I'm asking you a question.
No.
How'd they get him?
They traded who'd they trade for him? I forget.
It was a draft pick.
Seventh rounder. Well.
Seventh rounder for Joe. I mean, they have to pay his contract. The Bengals wanted to get out from under his contract. But good Lord, was he full of energy and juice. He was terrific. And so those are a look at some of the statistical, some of the really positive statistics. The kickoff, the new kickoff rule did have over 30, I think 33% of the kickoffs were actually returned, one for a touchdown. We had our first touchdown, DJ Dallas, formerly of the U in Seattle. He got a kick return for a touchdown this weekend. But the games I was watching, I was shocked by the fact they had 33 kick returns, because the games I watched, it was almost all we'll just let them take it at the 30. And I think the NFL thought that teams would say, we're not taking this at the 30. And I think kickers are still trying to get used to trying to plan it inside the zone. I think there's still some, you know, some muscle memory where they've got to try to fine-tune how they kick it so that they don't kick it out of the end zone.
I think a lot of coaches are just
saying,
give it to them at the 30.
Yeah, but doesn't that surprise you that I would look at overs then. If you're going to start series at the 30-yard line, I'm su- I'm surprised. I haven't seen how the overs and unders did, but my gosh, I would think that's a big. I would think that's a big advantage toward over players.
Well, Dell gave you a well actually yesterday on the text.
I know. He's, well, actually.
You're a numbers guy. Say, ignore the numbers.
Numbers nerd.
You're a numbers guy, and you're not. Okay, you were going with Lance-alytics, okay?
Yeah.
Instead of analytics, you're going with Lance-alytics.
Going into last night's game. Kickoff returns were up nearly 14%, 13.5% over week one last year. So the numbers tell me that more kickoffs are being returned, different teams are trying out different strategies to see what works. And as you mentioned, we had a kickoff return in week one. Didn't have that last year.
Your rules are working.
Don't trash Raj anymore, Lance.
We do need to move it back to the 30 anyway, though. You know what? They need to move the kickoff even further back because they're still getting into the end zone.
No, well, they can get it in there easily from the 30, too, a lot of these guys with their arms.
To the 25.
Well, I don't know if they need to do all that. But
well, why not? They'll kick it into the field to play.
Well, they're not going to – I don't think they'll change. I think they'll just say, look, we're not gonna change all these rules just to get – there's a chance they could go back to the 30, actually. But, I mean, because did you see that there was 21 field goals of 50-plus yards? It's the all-time record. And the all-time records for a single week, 21 in this week, the all-time records have happened since 22, 23, 24. Kickers now, if you don't have a kicker who can easily make one from 50, your kicker sucks. Like, you really got to get another kicker. We had a kicker with three 50-yard field goals. I think you had two maybe three 50-yard field goals last night from Jake Moody at San Francisco. But teams know that. The 50-yard field goal has just turned into, yeah, he's probably going to make this. I have very little doubt that a guy, I mean, he's definitely going to have enough leg. Nobody comes up short on a 50-yard field goal anymore. Nobody. So even when it's like 56, they might push it a little right or a little left, but it's rare to see him come up short. But I think what's interesting on kickoff rule is if the NFL can get it to 40%, I think they'll be happy. If they can get 40% returns, because the opposite of that, I mean, the result of that is if they just take the, you know, if you're willing to just kick it out of the end zone, okay, cool. We'll start the 30 and there's going to be more points. So I think the NFL is always going to be happy with points.
Nice.
Because think about that, the field position, and you got guys who can kick 56 yards now. You start the 30 instead of the 20 or the 25. Although yesterday we saw it's the first time I saw them start at the 20. The ball bounced at the 1 yard line and then in through the end zone. And so the drive started at the 20 yard line for the Jets. That's the first time I saw that.
713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Let's continue the conversation, and let's talk about the Astros. We haven't even brought up the Astros yet. They got the A's in town, and there's some Justin Verlander to talk about and some other stuff. But we got John Daspit to talk about right now.
We do have John Daspit to talk about. John Daspit's the reason that so many people with personal injury lawsuits have been able to relax and not have to stress when it comes to the many difficulties that will pile up on you when you're injured due to someone else's negligence. Here's the problem. You get hurt at the workplace, out on the water somewhere. Maybe you're, you know, an offshore worker. You could work at a, you know, as a stocker somewhere doing something, some kind of heavy lifting things. If someone else's negligence causes you to be injured, the insurance is there to take care of you. You need to know that. But it's such a stressful time because you have hospital bills, or you have doctor's bills, you have x-rays, you have the MRIs. Maybe you feel like you can't afford it, so you don't do it, and all you do is get worse and worse. John Daspit says, don't do that. Let us handle it for you. We'll make sure you get all the things that you need medically. If you have to miss time off from work because of your injury, we'll make sure that that's compensated for you. And then most importantly, the pain and suffering for the injuries that you've gone through, we want to make sure that you're compensated for that as well. And that's the difference with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They care about you. They want to take care of you. You're not treated like a number. You're treated like somebody that they want to make sure that you are going to be okay after this is all said and done, and it can be a long process. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN. I got to find a way to do this. We can not have those lights down. For the people watching, it's just bad. Okay, we got to get a good look going.
Well, don't worry about it. People expect bad lighting because they think you're in the servants' quarters.
Yeah. There have been comments that you're in your servants' quarters.
I don't have servants' quarters.
There was about all your TVs in the background. We can't see the TVs in the background anymore.
I just covered them up.
You covered your TVs?
I got a nice setup with three TVs where I can watch different sporting events.
Okay. And there was a thought that those are for your cameras because living in California is basically like you're living in Haiti at this point and that you've got security. Yeah, that you've got security camera. Those are your security cameras, so you can watch as the criminals try to
take people on a little tour like of our regular.
So
house.
You tell us. What has it been like living in California?
Well, he will tell you he doesn't live in California. He's still a Houstonian.
I know, but you have to live in a house in California. What has it been like? We hear about all the stuff that happens. What has it realistically been like?
Have you been accosted by dirty liberals? What's going on?
Has the homeless people tried to rub themselves on you, or has anyone pooed in your front steps? Have a Haitian hit you or whatever?
Stolen your cat?
I'm away from the city. Burbank is I'm in Los Feliz, which is a little bit different. It's
you're with the 824 crowd.
Is that what it's called?
I mean, a lot of actors who appear in those types of movies love Los Feliz.
They do.
Yes.
It's nice. It's a very pretty place. It really is. It's a very.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the canyons. I love driving up in the mountains, mountainous areas, and looking over the. It's great.
No, it's beautiful. There's beautiful beaches and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I see the video. Look, if you only watch Twitter on every city, you'll think every city is the worst city
city.
I actually don't ever see any of this stuff personally, but no. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I know it exists, but I would tell you that in my time in L.A., there's some places you don't like. Skid Row is a real thing. It is. It's maybe the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Skid Row is terrible, and I almost think you should drive down Skid Row just so you see it and experience it for yourself, John.
Why?
I don't know, because it's one of those things that it leaves an indelible mark. When you see Skid Row and you drive and you realize how far, like, that's when you know how bad it is in L.A. When you drive down Skid Row and you see how many blocks it lasts, it's truly...
That's awful.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. But for the most part, when I've been in L.A., and I don't live there, but it has not been... I wasn't there during all the riots and all that. I haven't been there for terrible, the stuff that happens. But that's not... The norm isn't... I don't think now the taxes are the norm.
Yeah.
And I think there's some crazy stuff that happens out there, but it's a pretty place. You can have a nice life out there as long as you make a whole lot of money.
Listen, I haven't seen any of that stuff. I have seen a lot of hype. Everything is high priced.
Yeah.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
John lives in a place where he's not going to see it.
Wait, you have your electric? No. You have your electric truck?
I don't.
No, he doesn't. He didn't take the truck out there.
Okay, so have you had to pay for – you just Uber or what? How do you get around?
I have paid for gas because of my wife's car.
How sweet is the gas out there? Ooh. Oh, my God. Are you in the fives?
Oh, yeah. It's 560, 570, whatever. Yeah.
I've got 269 by my house.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, that's a problem. It's not Houston. I don't know anyone here. So, it is what it is.
Are you sad?
I'm not sad.
You sound like you're like, I don't know anybody here.
I miss my friends. Yes, I miss my.
Me and Dale. Yeah.
He's not talking about us.
Oh, yes, okay. I'm talking about you two. I do.
Well, it's not mutual.
That
if you weren't aware
that you don't miss me.
No, I see you all the time, whether you're here or on screen.
That is a problem.
It's no different from our normal life. Well, at least my normal life.
It's a beautiful place.
They want to know if your house is purged.
It's the reason that everybody loves to live here.
Yeah, is your house purge-proof?
Yeah, they want to know if your house is purge-proof. Like, if they do the purge and they come to kill all you.
Actually, the people that were renting it from said, we were here for 20 years and never, ever, ever had a problem, ever. Like,
we need to change that.
Yeah.
What do you mean we need to change that?
Just keep him on his toes a little bit.
What do you want to happen to him?
Yeah. Just a simple break-in, nothing big.
A simple break-in, huh? What?
Maybe just a rock through a window just to keep him on edge.
You just want
him sharp
on his toes?
I want to keep him sharp. I don't need him, like, sitting out there getting soft and not, you know, worried about anything.
What do you think was happening here?
Well, he used to live by a train. A train could have derailed and crushed his house at any second.
Well,
he knew that.
That could have happened.
Right? Am I right?
No, that could have happened. Yeah, no,
so
right about
so
that.
Do you want someone to break in or for a train derailment to happen? Which one do you want?
Train derailment would keep John on his toes.
Maybe I could fall off of my patio, and it's a pretty far fall.
Is it a steep drop?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not.
Weren't we supposed to talk about Verlander and the Astros?
Verlander.
Yeah, okay. So what's to do with Verlander again? Did he fall off of a patio and get hurt, or what did you?
No, he's fine. Listen, the Chronicle this morning, Verlander's got a couple of starts left, and – you know what? I don't even know that he makes the last start, if you want to know the truth. If these two are going to be like the last couple, then you don't bring him out for that third start, because he's got three starts left, but you don't bring him out for the third one because you got to win that series against Cleveland. It is going to come down to that. You're 4.5 behind Cleveland. You're 4.5 ahead of Seattle. You're 5.5 behind the Yankees. It's not over as far as not playing in the wild card round. You don't want to be in the wild card round because you want to set up that division series with the pitching that you want, right? Now, I will say this. I'm not sure. After Verlander, if Verlander isn't a part of the rotation, I guess it's Fromber, Hunter Brown second, right? Kikuchi third?
No.
Yeah.
No, he feels like fourth. Fromber one, Hunter
fourth
Brown.
Fourth is Eric Getty.
Well, yeah, it can't be Eric. It is crazy that Blanco's just gone. Like, it's Blanco had a relief stint the other day. Struck out 5 2 innings. Like, he's a reliever now. And Blanco had a really good starting year, and he's like, I feel like, well, I'm only saying this because Eric Getty really struggled his last time out. And although that will, all my concerns will be alleviated if he just has a good start coming up. If he pitches well, I'll be like, okay, that was just a one-off. I am a little, you know, I just know that he's never pitched this many innings, and so I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him back up a couple of bad starts back to back. That's what I don't want to see. But yeah, you're right. Probably Kikuchi third. That way you get lefty righty lefty.
You know what scared me a little bit? You know, listen. I think the pitching. Nobody's gotten better starting pitching than the Astros. The Astros. It's been fantastic. It has just been fantastic. So, Brian McTaggart tweeted this out. Full strength, Altuve at second. Altuve, Alvarez, Tucker, Bregman. First of all, and then Diaz is in the five hole. Listen, top five, really, really strong. Really, really strong. I'm not sure that I love that order of them, but it obviously depends on who's pitching too. Peña, Caratini, Gamel, and McCormick. That's the part that scares me just a little bit. That is the Astros at full strength. You got to have either Chaz McCormick or Jake Myers in center field. And Gamel, who just got here. Now, Gamel's been fine. He's been great.
Gamel's been better than the other two.
Oh, yeah. Gamel's been much better than the other two.
So what's six? So six looks like
Peña. Six is Peña.
Seven is Caratini.
Gamel and McCormick.
Gamel and McCormick?
I think that's your point. That's
what about Dubon? No, Dubon.
No, Dubon's got to be out there.
Yeah, Dubon.
Put Dubon in center.
That's crazy that Gamel is going to be a starter.
Hey, dude, he's in the lineup every day.
Did you know who Gamel was 3 weeks ago?
He's been in the lineup
every
day. Did
you know who Gamel was 3 weeks ago?
I knew of, yes, I knew of him.
What's his first name?
Oscar.
It's not. That was a guy named Oscar Gamel. Who played for the White Sox. This is not. His
and
name
he had
is,
the best throw.
He did.
See,
no one knows who Gamel. No one knows his first name. He's just Gamel. His name is Clark Gamel.
Ben or something. I'm pretty sure. No one knows, though.
But can you believe that he's going to be a starter? But I don't know. I don't feel bad about Caratini's not a bad hitter. Jeremy Pena's had a good season. Look, you can't have, like, we're very spoiled with how deep our roster has been. But who are you missing from last year's team that, or the World Series team? Who are you missing? Yuli and Machete? Yuli was a terrible hitter all year long. Machete was an atrosity. None of these guys are as bad as those two.
Well, but McCormick was better than he's. Yeah, true. I mean, you're missing McCormick.
Well, McCormick, wait, was 22 McCormick good?
22 McCormick was good. He ended up playing every day. Yeah.
It wasn't 23 McCormick that was good?
Here, I'll tell you. 22 McCormick was good. He climbed up the wall. What are you talking about?
Well, I didn't say defensively he wasn't good. I think you're probably right. I just know it seems like Chaz.
22, he hit 245. He had a 738 OPS. 23, he was an 842 OPS guy.
That's what I mean. Last year, he was really good. 22 is just okay.
He's a 579 OPS guy right now and zero confidence. I don't know why they don't open his stance up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I got to step in here.
Well, say what you got to say right now. Say it with your chest. If they hear it.
Do something different. Stop with the closed stance. Open your stance up. Maybe you'll see the ball better. Maybe you'll pull some more.
Atta boy.
I don't know. Maybe try something different.
His on-base percentage.
I love that. Dick Harmon. If you ever played with Dick Harmon, he'd go, you'd hit a couple bad shots, snap a couple. Yeah, you know what, John? Just keep doing that because that's working.
Yeah.
How about changing something?
How about try something different?
How about trying something?
Do something different. Try.
Yeah, that was the best.
I mean, this is not the roster's the lineup's a lineup. You just had to get – You just want to get Kyle Tucker back, and the lineup's a lineup. It's fine. It's ALCS worthy. And I'm not saying it's the best lineup. There are better lineups out there, but it's good enough. And you've got, anytime you've got Kyle Tucker, Altuve, Yiner Diaz, Kyle Tucker, Yordan, there it is. Anytime you got those four, like, it's hard to complain. Those are really, really good players.
Yeah.
We kind of miss not having an Uncle Mike. He was one of those throwing guys, it was really tough to get out and could have some really good at bats. You kind of miss having that kind of guy in the lineup, there. Yiner really now. Yiner's more like Uncle Mike.
But I mean, Gamble in a game situation in game four of a playoff. I mean, are you sure?
Caratini? No, I don't know.
I did not plan on I did not have these plans for Caratini being a major cog in the lineup.
But you did not have the but I mean, you were okay with Maldonado.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Well, Maldonado's worse than anybody?
I wanted Yiner.
Well, you had to be okay with them. You had more. Well, like Maldonado played every game.
No. Listen, the Astros have always had a hole, had a giant crater in the middle at the end of the line.
Yeah, that's why I'm not worried about it, because actually they don't have a giant crater anymore.
Not really.
Well, except when Chaz starts. Yeah,
Chaz is okay.
And even then, it's not as bad as.
Well, you know what? That's not. You know what? Machete. Maybe Dubon's got to play center field, and you know what? He plays a really nice center field.
Absolutely, I'm fine if Chaz doesn't play baseball the rest of 2024. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. All right, let's break it here. 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on anything that we've been talking about, you're more than welcome. Call this number if you have any issues with your window. 713-849-5454. That's Gulf Coast Windows. It's Gulf Coast Windows, an award-winning window and door installation contractor serving Houston and other Texas locations. Absolutely free. They will install. If you buy the windows from Gulf Coast Windows, they will come and install them. And the installation is second to none. It is fantastic. Gulf Coast Windows is a Better Business Bureau Pinnacle Award winner. They're going to stand behind all of their work. They're going to stand behind their product. They're going to stand behind their installation. This is not just some fly-by-night window. They've been doing this for 35 years. You don't do this for 35 years. And when you see the product, it's second to none. The double pane windows, the hurricane resistant windows, it's fantastic. You are not going to find a better window on the market, and you're not going to find people that are going to do a better job. You've got warranty claims. You can make payments. Okay, you've got doors, windows, everything you could possibly need. If you are somebody that is looking at your home and saying, man, we've really got to do something about this, Gulf Coast Windows is the way to go. 713-849-5454 or gulfcoastwindows.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Okay, we got a giveaway here. Let's give away the UH Rice tickets. How about this? $15 for Lower Bowl for this game. $15 tickets for Lower Bowl. So get to uhcougars.com/tickets or/promo. And $15 for the Lower Bowl. That's awesome. uhcougars.com/promo. We'll give them to at 9 o'clock. We'll give them to caller number 4, Dell. Caller number 4 at 9 o'clock. And then we've still got listener appreciation party tickets to give away. Who wants those? Keep on listening. Charlie is here and wants to talk about his Texans. Hey, Charlie.
What's up, Charlie?
Hello? Yeah, Charlie, how are you?
Hey, what's up? Hey, good. How y'all? So I was just calling about the Texans. I wanted to say that was a good game the other day. But, man, Lance, you got to talk to your boys over at Pro Football Focus with their grading, man. What the hell kind of scary?
Those are my boys. They're not my boys.
Those are your boys.
I don't trust the grades. To me, the grades, I'm not a fan of the grades. I think the data they collect is fine. It's good,
okay.
But the grades, I've never been somebody who...
Okay, what did you have an issue with, Charlie?
Man, they had, first of all, no Texan got graded higher than any of the Colts. Three of their offensive linemen got graded at 85 or better, two of them being 90. I don't get how that happens if we held Jonathan Taylor down to under 50 yards. They literally got lucky off the three plays. Like, that's ridiculous. And then... they graded, what's his name? The highest graded player we had was Nico Collins at 82. What the hell? He had over 100 yards. It's ridiculous.
I don't know how some of those grades, honestly, I don't know how they work. Like, do you get a grade for running a route?
They're saying that CJ Stroud had three noteworthy players, so they gave him a 67.
By the way, oh yeah, Nico's 83.4. Kalen Bullock, 82.3. Joe Mixon 73.5. I don't know how this works.
That's what I'm saying. I don't care about.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. It's some of that. Well, Joe Mixon for the most part got yards that were there. How do they determine what the rating is for a running back?
I don't know because he created
yards for himself.
He created yards after contact. Like I don't know. That's why I don't care about pro. So much is made of pro football focus grades.
I will say this. Kenyon Green had a 72.8. He was 70 plus in blocking and run blocking. Titus Howard 68.5. I will say this. I don't care what about it. I do think that I'm. Are you not thrilled at what you saw out of Kenyon Green?
You know, I brought him up in two different preseason games. I've talked about him here on the radio. Talked about it on Twitter. This is the guy I was watching in preseason. I really didn't care about most everyone else. I'm watching Kenyon Green. And I was impressed in the preseason. And I can tell you what, he kicked ass the other night. Kenyon Green was fantastic.
Did you see him drive Zaire Franklin back about 8 yards?
I saw
him. I mean, driving him.
Did you see all the clips that Brian Baldinger had of Kenyon Green? Oh, you did?
I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Kenyon,
no, I did see that.
You probably did. Kenyon Green was outstanding.
Yeah.
And I go back when I watch the play, I'll search back and I'll rewatch the run plays over just to, you know, cuz I got 25 seconds between plays, so I'll go watch it again. And I was like, "Man, Kenyon's doing a good job. He's moving guys around." Now, somebody who knows Kenyon really well said that he was hurt his first year also, and not just last year, but his first year. So they claim that this has just been an injury issue he's had. I would say maybe that's true. But he was carrying way too much weight. He had bad weight on, and he went and redid his body. He went and made, look, he's never going to be like body beautiful, but there's functional football weight, and he got to a functional football weight. He got some of the bad weight off, and he looks stronger this year. He looks much more confident. Technique is better. This looks like the Kenyon Green I saw at Texas A&M that I gave, you know, that I was happy with the Texans drafting. I love that the Texans drafted Kenyon Green, but he was a disaster in the first year and didn't play in a second year. What we saw in the preseason and then more importantly in game one against a really good Colts defensive front is exciting. Really exciting because Kenyon Green was moving guys in a direction. He was getting the run lane sealed off. I couldn't be happier. I mean, for me, the most exciting thing that came out of that game was, it's hard not to say Joe Mixon, but I would say Joe Mixon and Kenyon Green. You can say offensive line if you want, but let's face it. This is a first-round pick who they have a potential five-year contract on. If he plays well, John, we were already kind of like, you know, hopefully Kenyon Green comes back and is an average starter, but you know, you may have to draft left guard. Can you imagine if left guard is solidified and center solidified in your tackles? I mean, is there a chance the Texans will go from having, remember when they had the worst wide receiving core last year to all of a sudden they're the best? Is there a chance that this Houston offensive line is one of the top five in the league? Now, pass protection was just very average the other day. Very, very average. But I'm not as worried about that because CJ can get rid of the ball. You show me a good running game, and I'll show you pass protection. It gets better.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And the way that they ran the football, forget about it. They were the best in the league on Sunday. That was fantastic. And San Francisco was great as well last night. But, if Kenyon Green is good, holy crap. That's the best thing, I think, that came out of the game, if you want to know the truth. Kenyon Green was the best thing that you can take away from that football game. Kalen Bullock was a real positive. Obviously, Joe Mixon was a positive. All the wide receivers were a positive. Lassiter played a good game. He said he made a couple of mistakes. We'll hear from him on the other side. It's 9 o'clock. It's 8:59 right now. 9 o'clock, you all call in and get your tickets to the U of H game. When I watch my football, I watch it with Coors Light. I've got Coors Light in the fridge right here. I can take you over and show you right now. I mean, I've got when I speak it, I mean it. I mean what I say about Coors Light. I love me some Coors Light. It's the beer of choice, okay? I'm a little disappointed. I'm actually rather disappointed in rather disappointed in the state of California, because the state of California, not every bar has Coors Light. It's very disappointing here. In Texas, we keep Texas chill, right? We're doing a great job. I feel like we're doing a really great job in Texas of supplying people with Coors Light. Not as good here. So I'm going to have to work my magic here like I tried to do in the city of Houston, okay? Keep Texas chill. Come on, people. Drink your cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's football season. It's Coors Light season. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.